from the beautiful new Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada, here on the Colorado River. Here at the UFO Congress, I'm Jerry Pippin, and we have an interesting guest here, Michael Telstar. He's had some experiences on the dark side, and maybe even some UFO things, but basically he's a mentalist, and he's going to do an amazing thing for us before the program's over.
Michael Telstar, or I guess I should say Michael J. Telstar.
That's fine.
Yeah, what's the J stand for?
Joseph.
Okay, well, good. Tell me a little bit about, you know, two or three people have mentioned you to me. So you've got your fans. Tell me why.
Well, I guess you could say that I'm the resident remote viewer here. I'm also known as a paranormalist. So a paranormalist is somebody that utilizes paranormal principles with scientific applications. So I guess some people have experienced some of the things that I've done here personally, so I guess they sticks to them.
Yeah, now, you're a very entertaining fellow, so do you approach this from the entertainment value, or is there a hidden message here?
Absolutely, yeah, you're very perceptive, Jerry. I didn't tell you much about myself, but I was an escape artist for 15 years. So I do have kind of a dramatic flair when I do my seminars and my workshops, and I think that helps a lot.
Well, they made a videotape of you in which you moved something right off of sure mental force. And
Yes, and I also affected too the person, a couple of people too, without touching them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hopefully we'll have that film clip because they promised it to me. We'll see.
Okay, well, you'll see it, and I guess seeing is believing, but, well, you know, moving objects or whatever, you know, somebody could say...
How do you do that? That's what I'm getting to.
Well, some people could say, well, there's a string attached to it. Well, there's no string attached to it, but I'm affecting other people as well, making them feel or think something that isn't there. So, obviously, I'm not doing something. How do you do it? Well...
Yeah, are you saying... That board didn't drop off the top of it?
Oh, no, that really happened, and people do experience things, you know, and I've learned through, my own experiences.
Well, what I'm asking is, does this take, seems to me that would take some extraordinary energy. Do you get pooped doing this stuff?
I do get a little tired, but you can actually do this. You can learn to do it. In fact, Uri Geller gave me my first technique 25 years ago when I worked at the old Don Jail. I had the graveyard shift there, and I loved it. The place was haunted, by the way. And I was really bored because I had 12-hour shifts, 4 days a week. And he gave me a technique. I contacted him, and he told me to put a piece of paper on the pin of a needle. Don't pierce the needle. Just balance it, put it boomerang-shaped, and then just tell that little sucker there to spin. And so I did that, and nothing happened, and I continued to do it, and I thought I was breathing on it, but sure enough, it did get to turning, and then after a while, I got to move away from 1 foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, make it spin one way, tell it to stop, to spin the other way. So I actually teach people how to do this, Jerry, and whether I'm affecting the photon energy, whether I'm utilizing some kind of heat energy to make it move, I'm not sure. I really don't know. I've had some quantum physics try to explain it and what I'm doing, and I don't know how I do it, but the fact is that there are people right here at the conference who have done it. Kathy's here, and some other people that are here that I've taught to do it, and I can get her for you if you want to speak to her. And the fact is, you can actually learn to do that. So people will do it, and once they pass a belief system, and they get that thing to move, and once they understand, they can affect things outwardly outside their body that empowers them more. And of course, everybody has this ability already, as you know.
You're saying any of us can do? Do you do seminars or things like that?
When you move your hand. Right, when you move your legs, when you stand up, you're affecting your body using psychokinetic energy, and electrical impulses are coming through your body, and they're moving your hands. So what if you can do that and extend that energy and that ability outside yourself? Why it doesn't have to be connected. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to. So once you do that, you can affect things on a level, and people do it unconsciously.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like maybe I wouldn't want to make you angry. You might. I've heard the stories about...
You know what? I did, you know, when I was younger, you know, a little bit wiser now, I hope, but when I was younger, I did have people, I looked after a couple of my father's properties, and there were some tenants that really got on my nerve bad, and there was once, you know, a fight happening on the second floor, and three people were screaming their heads off. I couldn't take it anymore. So what I did, you know, this is about 25 years ago, what I did was I focused on giving them an extremely excruciating headache. And about 10 minutes later... They weren't screaming anymore, screaming at each other. They were screaming in pain.
Wow.
And there was a couple people there, and they actually had, and you were telling them, where's the aspirin, and my head is splitting. And I did it, and I had no doubt about it, and I thought about it for a while, and I don't know how I affected it so fast, but I did give them such a serious headache that they shut up, and it didn't. They never did that again, actually. They never screamed again, because it was bothering me. It was really yelling, so I focused on giving them an excruciating headache. I imagine a screw turning on the back of their heads.
Wow.
In my mind. And I don't know, and this is before I went to the Munro Institute.
Now, it seems to me that... You didn't answer me. Do you do seminars to teach other people how to do this?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's my mission for the last 10 years, Jerry.
And do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's
and we have a link to it.
It's Astral Warriors. You know, like the astral realm, you know, A-S-T-A-R-L, warriors, plural, .com.
Do people have to be with you personally to...
No, you can come anywhere. I'll go anywhere in the world. I've been everywhere, all over the place. People just call me up. There's a link there for a sponsorship page. I have people set up classes or workshops. I've been all over the U.S. and Canada. And if I get enough people and they put it together, I'll come.
Do people learn this technique easier or better in certain areas of the country?
Well, it all depends, really. Maybe the climate might have an effect on people. Is that what you're asking me, or?
Yeah, well, no, I'm asking you, like, in Georgia, is it rougher to do it than California?
Well, I guess not. Maybe the climate might affect people if it's a nice climate, you know, maybe.
Well, I was thinking more or less of people and their beliefs and systems and things like that in regional type.
Well, belief systems could hamper it. You know, I think I tell people when they come through the doors.
I get. It's actually you just need to convince people they can do it.
Well, they got to believe first, Jerry, that they're more than their physical selves, or they want to believe it. If they don't have that belief, they can't take the class, right? And I tell people to leave their left brain behind the door because I don't want them to logically analyze things too much. That's the problem when you learn any of these skills. You think about it too much. It's going to hamper you, like when you learn to drive a car, you know, you can't think about, you're thinking about what you're doing, but after a while, it just becomes second reflex, right?
You're saying that this really is not that tough after you get used to doing it.
No, it's really, really easy. You just have to practice it a little bit, and everybody has, it's an inherent ability that everybody possesses, and everybody has a different degree of ability, like a singer, for example. People karaoke sing, there are really naturally good singers, and some are not too good, right? But you can improve your singing ability. It's the same thing with martial arts or whatever. So some people will naturally tend to be better than others, but everybody can apply and utilize the ability to some degree.
You have an exceptional ability other than what you're talking about. I mean, are you psychic?
I am psychic. You are psychic. Everyone is psychic. You know, remote viewing, for example, is a modern terminology for clairvoyance, which is psychic ability. So when I do my stuff, I might call it remote telekinesis or remote influencing or whatever. But I am psychic. You are psychic. Everyone has intuitive feelings, glimpses, you know, of insight, flashes of insight. If you're creative, you know, if you're a dancer, singer, actor, performer, if you're a creative problem solver, you're right brain, you're intuitive, you're psychic, you know. Getting impressions and seeing solutions that other people don't see, you know, and when you're spontaneous, you know, that shows that you're intuitive. So it's a form of being psychic.
And you've always been interested in this, but you just were a little bored at your job and developed it.
I became an escape artist here because my dad took me to Clark Institute in Toronto when I was 15 years old because I told him I was doing these weird things. No, he wasn't in it at all. He was a master carpenter and a businessman. And I told him I was taping these voices on tape. I was fooling around with EVP, right, which is, you know, is electronic voice phenomena. And I, you know, had these tapes. I was telling him about these dreams, and he thought I was, you know, literally crazy. And I guess I don't blame him, but I thought every 14-year-old kid was doing this. So he took me to this institute in Toronto which studies abnormal and bizarre behavior. So fortunately, the three psychiatrists that interviewed me at the time, and I was really nervous, I answered all their questions, said I was fine. But then they asked my father to come back in the next day. They wanted to find out why he thought I was weird. You know, so that kind of made me laugh and cry at the same time. And, you know, that kind of, you know, made it a little difficult for me. But I was glad to know that I was emotionally all right. But that's why I became an escape artist, because I wanted to escape from this physical reality. And I started having OBEs, too, by the way, at that time.
Well, I mean, do you, you go ghost hunting?
Well, no. I guess I don't have to go ghost hunting. I guess when you have this kind of energy, entities and life forms seem to be attracted to you. So when I worked at the Old Don Jail for 10 weeks, I had a lot of weird experiences in normal places. Well, I would have to do a patrol every 2 hours, and in that time, you know, I could take a nap. Because it was midnight to 12 noon, and I slept in the warden's office. That prison was used for 135 years. The last double hanging was in 1962, when I was born, by the way. They had over 150 hangings there. So you can imagine the energy there. So I used to take a shortcut, Jerry, from the main floor to the second floor, and I used to walk up the same stairs that the guys would walk their last mile. And I get all these impressions and vibes. So the scaffolding was gone, but you can see the outline there, and the trap wasn't there. So anyway, I'd walk around. I have footsteps. I take a nap.
What kind of things were you picking up?
I was picking up, you know, a lot of vibes and of thoughts and impressions. And I was like, I'm 19 or 20 here, right? I was picking up on, it didn't scare me, but I was fascinated by it. Because I'd take the shortcut, and as soon as I put my hand there up the wood, I'd pick up all these vibes of, extreme fear, you know, sorrow, you know, regret, you know, illness. I get impressions of young and old, you know, all kinds of different things. And it fascinated me that I was told that the security that was there never took that shortcut. You know, but I did. And I once slept in the warden's office.
So when you were, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when you're walking down there and getting all of these impressions, how do you know that just wasn't your creative mind? You're a creative fellow.
Well, you
must look, remember or walk and think, I wonder how this guy reacted, this guy. So
Well, you know what? The energy for intuitive or psychic ability, remote viewing, anything like this, it comes from the same hemisphere of the brain, the right side, and the imagination. It's tied to the imagination on the same spectrum of energy. So when you say it's your imagination, yes, you could say it's your imagination, but the fact is, though, is that the energy, the psychic feedback, the data stream, the signature comes through the same area of the mind. You understand? So it is your imagination, but it isn't. Because when you learn to develop this, you tell the difference between your imagination, all right, when you focus your thoughts and your imagination, as opposed to a thought just coming into your mind. So, you for example, you get an impression of something or someone or a feeling that comes to you for no reason. You understand what I mean? For example, say, for example, you think, for some reason, Humphrey Bogart comes into your mind. Okay? You just think of him for no reason. Now, you go to your friend's place the next day, right? And they say, well, you know, I rented a video and Humphrey Bogart stars in it. You understand what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Now, you thought of that name. Now, you think it's your imagination, but indeed, you have precognitively picked up that impression, you know, of this character, you know, that you...
Yeah, back to your story, I left you hanging at the warden's office.
Oh, yeah. So I took a nap, eh? This happened to me in a lot of places that I worked at, in fact. But I took a nap, and I laid in the actual cot in the warden's office, and this prison had a door like a vault. Nobody could get in, right? I knew that. I was safe in there. At least I thought I was. So I took a nap, and I distinctly heard footsteps in the hallway of shoes coming and getting closer and closer and closer, coming closer right up to the edge of the bed. And then I'd be violently shook up awake, and nobody was there. That happened to me several times.
Literally.
Like somebody's, like, I thought, when this happened, I thought it was my supervisor. But then I realized that you can only get in with explosives or a battering ram through that door at the prison. And so this bothered me, and I'm only 19 or 20 here, you understand, so I don't really know what's going on. So I did that several nights, and the same thing happened. Sometimes the steps came, and it didn't violently wake me up, because I didn't want to be violently woken up. It would stay there, but I couldn't open my eyes, and I couldn't move. And I struggled for like what seemed like 15, 20, 30 minutes before I could, and when I did, it scared the hell out of me. Once, I stayed up. I hid somewhere behind like a desk, like a big wooden desk, and I heard the steps, and I stayed behind the desk, and it happened again. And this time I'm not laying down. So people say you're dreaming, you're imagining it. No, I was conscious, cognitive, just like I was in the other instance, but I was behind the desk at that moment because I'd taken a nap roughly at the same time. You know what? The steps came through the hallway, and they're heavy, and it came right up to the thing, and I'm behind the desk. I was so terrified, I was too scared, and I couldn't move. I was too afraid to put to look over the desk. I was so terrified, and you know what? I never took a nap again at that time frame, and I found out. You asked me about how I went out. I found a room with about 50 books, big books like this, heavy, 15, 20 pounds each, very heavy, and these were logs of the last century. And I checked out some of them. And from what I could ascertain, there was a riot, and the warden was taken hostage, and he had his throat slit. I confirmed that. I think that might have been him, I don't know, but it could have been any life form, but I do know that a lot of, hell of a lot of guys were killed violently in that place.
From the Aquarius Casino Resort. It's new, and it's on the Colorado River here in Laughlin, Nevada. We're at the UFO Congress. I'm Jerry Pippin. Michael Telstar is our guest. We'll be right back. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Congress on JerryPippin.com. We're broadcasting from the Aquarius Casino Resort here at Laughlin, Nevada, on the beautiful Colorado River. Michael Telstar is our guest. And let's get back to the show, Michael. We have quite an audience around us.
Yeah, I had a lot of unconscious projections, Jerry, when I was younger. Lucid dreams, you know what lucid dreams are? Have you had any yourself where you know you're dreaming? You know, you ever wake up in a bed, right, and you wake up again, you realize you wake up in your bed in a dream, you know? That's known as a false awakening. I had a lot of experiences in the lucid dream state in the OBE where I did have encounters, and I thought they were dreams, and I had that for many years, and I didn't tell anybody. And that's one of the reasons why I went to the Monroe. And a couple of them I had were extremely vivid and lucid, and a couple of them may have been physical. I had a 16-hour time loss, too, by the way.
Wow.
I went to a campground in October, so I'd be alone. And I've been focusing on going there and doing something, initiating contact. I know it sounds silly, but I went there, and nobody's there in October, and I had a 16-hour time loss. And it scared me more than I thought it would. It scared me. I didn't think that something like that would happen, of course, but I did have that happen, and when I realized it, I put everything on tape, spoke on a tape on my little tape recorder for about 2.5 hours, and when you replay it again, I sound like Mickey Mouse. My voice sounds like I had, you know, when you breathe in that, that gas, helium? My voice sounds strange on the tape. So there was some kind of an altered experience, and I still have that tape, and only one or two people have heard it. But I'm talking extremely fast and high-pitched in it. I didn't realize at the time, of course, and not until I listened to it later, and I'm thinking there's something wrong with the tape, but there wasn't. So I've had encounters with physical and non-physical beings. I woke up in my bed once, saw a tall entity there, you know, at the edge of my bed, and I know this sounds amazing, told very few people, woke up, you know, I heard a particular signal, woke up, you know, looked at the edge of my bed, and this is about 20 years ago, and at the edge of my bed was a tall female life form, and I'm single, you know, and this is not something whatever, you know, and they're tall, and their eyes are slanted like this, they have pale skin, page boy, black haircut, very attractive. You know, eyes were like this, but they're not your oriental. Their skin is very pale and white, but very incredible. And they were nude, right? Nude, and at the edge of my bed. And I can't believe this. I can't, well, I woke up, right? I'm waking up. I'm lucid here. I'm lucid, right? I get up, and I'm in bed, and I'm moving extremely slow because I figure if I am dreaming, I don't want to wake up. You know? So I'm moving to the edge of the bed. And I'm moving incredibly slow. So I realized that it's not a lucid dream now, that I am having an out-of-body experience. But at the time there, I'd be developing my ability. So it wasn't physical, but the person was there. But I did get up. I think it was an out-of-body anyway. And I'm getting up because I do feel the tug pulling me back. But I'm moving slowly, and I see that the life form is about 12 inches off the floor. That's why she looked like to be about 7 feet tall, but she wasn't. And I went up to about 6 inches from her eyes. So it was very vivid and solid, and I said to her, whether I move my mouth or not, I'm not sure, I says, you can't possibly be real. And she bent down and came even closer to my eyes, and it was incredible. And she says to me, I'm as real as you are. And I won't say what happened after that. But
well, did you have an affair?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe I did. I haven't told this too many people.
Was it out of this world?
But something like this happens when you start projecting in the second state, I call it.
Did she ever come back?
And she did, yes. And why this happens, I don't know. I'm not special for this to happen to me. I figured that it happens, it can happen to anyone. And the reason why it happened is because I was about 2021 here. When you start doing this, right, you emanate a peculiar frequency like a lighthouse beacon, and you attract these life forms. And some of them are human life forms that have passed on, and they got married, and before they can consummate their relationship, they might be attracted to an Earth man or something like that. Or it could be an extraterrestrial or a life form, indigenous. I don't know if it's extraterrestrial. You notice I don't say extraterrestrial, but I have met these beings, too, that look ugly, the grays, so I figure they must be the EBEs or whatever.
Yeah, you've seen more or less a grays.
I have seen those, too. I had a girlfriend with me once, and a closet opened, this orb came out, and one of these things came out. I awoke, she awoke, but they froze her, and they did something to me. And she's a witness to that.
So, you may have...
She was terrified of it too, but I warned her that this could happen, and sure enough, it did.
Well, it's pretty hard to get somebody to come to your room when you tell them this stuff in advance.
Well, I've known her for a while. This was probably a couple years after, you know. But the thing is, I didn't want these things to happen necessarily. But I know that I'm perfectly rational, you know, and it's not a big deal to me now. But I'm careful not to label anything that I perceive, whether it's in the non-physical or physical. You know what I mean by that, right?
Okay, now we're about out of time here. You're saying all of us can move objects.
Yeah, you want me to do a little something for you right now here. Now, you can describe this.
Yeah, can you
describe this? You want to take a picture?
Yeah, he's going to shoot a little 30-second.
Okay, a little 30-second thing. Now, the thing is, I'm going to have to stand up.
You probably can't do it within 30 seconds.
I don't know, you know, but let me see if I can, all right? I can't promise it, but I'm going to try, all right?
Now what are we going to do here?
Okay, well, I'm going to take this. I call this a piece of wood. I call this an energy conversion block. I teach people how to do this with small pieces of wood.
Is that just a regular block? No trick thing there?
No. You're holding it and everything. Shake it, whatever. Do whatever. Hit it on my head, you know. You can hear it's hollow. Anyway, all right. So I tell people put their negative energy in the block because negative energy is a powerful thing, all right? So I teach them how to do this after I do the paper thing with them, all right? So what I'm going to do is, this is a bigger block. This is a much bigger block, all right? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to balance it. I can do different things.
This is regular Coke bottle.
Yeah, it's a regular bottle or whatever. I got to figure out what's easiest for me to do here. Okay, so I'm going to take this. And balance.
We got a lot of people around here. Is that going to bother you with the noise?
Okay, now stand away from the table. I'm going to focus my energy. I'm going to extend my resonant energy.
You're not going to kick the table.
This is an aura. This is an aura we all have.
Okay. He's making motions now, and so far the block hasn't moved.
I don't know if I'll be able to do it.
Don't know if he's going to be able to do it or not. He's trying.
I don't know if I'll be able to do it.
He says that everyone will be able to do it or not.
Still try. Okay.
Give it one more try.
See, he works up to this. And try one more time.
I feel something moving. Come on.
He's still trying. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it or not.
You see anything happening, Jerry?
Anything happening, guys? Anybody see anything happening? Nobody sees anything happening.
Okay. All right. Give it another shot here. I did it yesterday.
Yeah, we have it on video yesterday.
I think I got to take one. I'm going to take just a 1 minute breather, and I'm going to put my head together again, and I'm going to give it one more shot.
Does this take a lot out of you when you do this?
Well. Yeah, it does. It does. Okay. I'm gonna give it one more shot. So you
okay.
There. You know what it is, to tell you the truth. When I was doing it over there, I had more space, and I kind of feel constrained. You know.
Well, you want to move it over there to that table. Hold on.
Over there, I had more space, and I kind of feel constrained. You know. Now, when you do this, when you shoot energy out, right, it changes the galvanic skin response. So I'm gonna just put my hands here, and you tell me what they feel like.
They're cold.
Ice cold.
Yeah.
I'm shooting a tremendous amount of energy out. Look at the color of my hands. When you absorb energy, it's hot. When you lose energy...
What color is his hands, Jim?
It's hard to tell. They're real cold.
Freezing cold, like I'm putting them in a bucket of ice, right? Here's Kathy, by the way. She moved a piece of paper. Her son took my class last year, and she moved a piece of paper, so maybe you want to talk to her for a second.
Oh, we will. Well, Kathy, so how does that work?
Well, I have no idea how it works. I just bent a piece of paper and put it on a biro, little pen, and the piece of paper started spinning on its own, and I got such a fright I dropped the whole lot. But wow, it went at speed.
You have an interesting accent.
Well, I was born in England, but I live in Australia.
Okay, well, that explains it.
Yes.
English accent mixed with Australia.
Yes, and I have seen Michael at work, and his experiments are really terrific. I've seen him here before doing that, so he does really well.
Yeah, you've seen it work?
Oh, yeah, it was last year he was doing it. So that's, you know, it's a phenomena that anybody can do. But I have seen Michael do his performance there.
Let's see if he's ready to try it again. You think you're going to work? We got a big crowd here. I don't know.
It does, because if I'm not in a strong alpha brainwave state, which is a focused state of attention, then I'll get distracted, then I can't focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Remember I mentioned you have to be in an alpha state to do any of these things, right, and then to maintain it. So I was in it for a while, but I kind of lost it, but I think I'm getting back into it again.
You still want to try it?
Yeah, we're going to get another shot, but we're going to move this over here.
Okay.
I don't give up easily, Jerry.
Okay.
Well, I did a whole show yesterday, so I'm going to try it again.
And now, didn't you do this yesterday or today?
I did it yesterday. I did something different, too, but I did something similar, though, because I can do different things with it. We're going to give it another shot.
Okay. Okay, everybody quiet. Let's see if he can do this.
Okay. I feel something.
Okay, the block and everything. Let's give him a hand for that, folks.
See my hand? You want to touch? See how cold my hands are?
Woo!
Nice.
Everybody feel his hands.
Thank you. That's warming them up a bit. Thank you. Thanks.
Good. We got it, and it'll be on the website with the radio show.
Just talk to me later, folks. Stick around, because I got some stuff to give you over here. Michael Telstar. Oh, cold. I'm shooting energy out. Come see me over here because I'm doing a private seminar tomorrow night. All right, so if you want to come and learn how to do this, I'm going to be doing it over here.
Okay, Michael, I think we've pretty well covered it other than you give seminars. What's your schedule?
Repeat my website again. It's astralwarriors.com, and I do 15 fairs a year. But I also have, open, you know, I have a lot of time open, you know, to accommodate people who ask me to come and see them.
So at these acts that you do at the fair, exactly what do you do, just like you did this?
I do lectures, and I'm also, I got to make a living, so I'm also a psychic consultant. You know, I do 15 fairs a year, so I kind of, you know, give people advice. But the thing is, I really like to enjoy giving people the tools so that they can search and become psychic themselves and not have to be reliant on me for that.
And you're saying any of us here can learn to do that?
Well, maybe not to the same extent, but the paper thing, as you were talking to Kathy, you can learn that. It all depends. I've been doing this for a long time, and I did this by accident, you know, and I worked my way up, you know. But you can affect energy, and I do teach people in my speed crash courses that I do on how to utilize energy and how to do something right there on the spot. So I actually do something to people, I don't know how, but there's a part of a person, if you open it up and they believe it and they don't doubt themselves, they can do it. So I almost get, like, between 80 to 90% of the people take my classes will do something in the first couple of hours.
Wait, now the seminar you're going to do over here tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm doing it tomorrow night in my room. I can only take 10 people, so I still have some spots.
Cool, that's truly amazing. In fact, thanks very much for being on the show. We'll be back with more in a moment. Don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers. UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
as Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.